You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Are you ready to talk about the Montreal Canadiens? We certainly are. We're here each and every week to keep you informed, engaged, entertained, all while we talk about those Habs, even when it's summertime, even when it's the off season, even when it seems like maybe the news is a little slow. Believe me, we've got plenty to talk about your favorite NHL franchise. And we're going to do that today. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. This is episode 360 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast. And our show this week is titled Signs, Signals, and Roster Shaping. What we're learning before Habs training camp. Training camp? Yeah. It's just around the corner. Mr. Rick Stevens, who is here in the studio with me, always pleased to be joined by our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. Rick, yeah, it's like we're officially at the start the countdown towards training camp.
Absolutely. And, you know, Broussard is becoming a hive of activity. And some of the camps, certainly in Europe, are have already opened. And prospects are getting underway, and Montreal, the off season for the players, there's still a few golf rounds to be played, but their focus now is on ice, and their focus is securing a roster spot for the Montreal Canadiens, and that's what we're going to talk about today is how that roster is coming together. It's been a while since we looked at the makeup. And some things have changed. So, as you said, what have we learned? What are we learning about how this is all going to come together for Habs training camp in just a couple weeks' time?
That's right. So here's what you can expect on today's show, whether you are a brand new listener or viewer, if you are watching on YouTube, or if you've been around for a few of our episodes. In our first segment, we're going to cover all of the latest Habs news, NHL league news, review anything new that's happened this past week, and also do a brief prospect report for the Canadiens organization. So we're going to talk a little bit about the roster, what's happening over the course of the summer, a little bit of World Junior early news, all sorts of things, some other prospect tournaments that are getting underway, that kind of thing. All of that in the first segment. Then the second segment of the show is where we tackle our big topic of the week, which is typically what we've kind of revealed in the show's title. And so our second segment, our big topic this week, is how Montreal's 2025-26 roster is starting to take shape. And as Rick mentioned, you know, we did an early kind of prediction or outlook of what the roster could look like maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, but a lot has actually changed since then, and the Habs are finding ways of dropping some subtle messages, sometimes not so subtle messages, via the media in the last couple of weeks. And so we want to try to kind of connect those dots for you, weave all of that together to kind of do an updated look of what what roster decisions might be becoming a little more clear. And then finally, in our third segment, is where we get we give you a chance to have your say. And we always have a Canadians Connection question of the week. It's a question that we pose to our fans and listeners and viewers each and every week, where we want to ask your opinion as fans about something related to the Canadians and today's topic. And then every week in segment three, we pick out all of the best responses that we got from the previous week's question, and we read them for all of you to hear, because maybe it'll make you think differently about a topic, or maybe it will inspire you to want to reply and debate the topic or argue the topic, or maybe it's just going to get you really riled up or excited. Who knows? But we like to share all of your thoughts as well. So that is the rundown for today's show. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you have responses to the question of the week, the way to reach us, it's an interactive show. We really love for you to reach out to us and make your voice heard. The easiest way to do that is to send us a text. We have a dedicated Rocket Sports text line. You can find that at 585-3-ROCKET. Again, that's 585-3-ROCKET. If you head over to our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadians.com, you can always drop a comment on the YouTube channel, whether it's on the video for the podcast episode or if it's in response to one of our community tab posts. And also on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, or Instagram. You can send your comments there as well. So respond early and often. We'll kick things off with things that have happened since we've been gone. During the season, this is kind of where we give you a recap of the games that the Canadians have played in between podcast episodes week to week. In the summertime, it's more about current events and what's been going on with the players in their downtime. First and foremost, more weddings, Rick. More weddings, except this time it's siblings of Habs players.
Siblings. Josh Anderson was married last year. Mm-hmm. A nice splashy wedding, and he and his wife celebrated their first anniversary. Paula celebrated their first anniversary, and they attended the Suzuki wedding, and then Josh's brother Jordan got married, and so they've been posting pictures, and what's adorable about their pictures is they have a new baby. Stella was born in April. She was the flower girl at at Josh's brother's wedding. Mm-hmm. And so she has a new aunt is how it was right. Described. So this week we're talking about the summer of love last year, and it's baby time this summer.
Well, that's true, because Yoel Armia and his wife Amelia welcomed their second child just a couple of months ago.
The 2nd of June, they had their second child. And Yoel Armia, yes, he is no longer a Montreal Canadian, off to the Los Angeles Kings. But he's such a good guy and a good family guy. And the pictures of he and his wife and his daughter are quite beautiful.
Now, Ivan Demidov, don't worry, we don't have baby news to break on the show.
Sort of.
About Ivan Demidov.
In a way.
Stop it. This is not a clickbait show. Right. It's not. It's kind of, in a way, Ivan Demidov and his girlfriend adopted a puppy.
Oh.
So they have a new adorable little bundle of joy that they've added to their family. But what's even more interesting than the fact that they adopted a puppy is, well, that they named her Celine.
Well, this was predictable, wasn't it? Think back to the 2024 draft, and there was all kinds of celebrity presenters, celebrities would come up on behalf of the team and select the first round picks of the 2024 draft. When the fifth overall pick came up, it was Celine Dion who announced Ivan Demidov as the Canadian's choice. And so tip of the hat there. They've called their new puppy Celine.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Don't worry, we're going to get to more serious news.
We are. This is just a light start. Current events. Mm-hmm. This is the pop culture stuff that's going on with the Habs. Okay, let's get to some actual hockey talk. Brassard continues to ramp up in its usage as far as a practice facility. Lots of Canadians there practicing this week. Patrick Laine, Joe Valeno, Ivan Demidov, Jake Evans, Alex Carrier, Lucas Gendata, Jakub Dobish, Sam Montembeault. Phew. It was a busy place.
I think it's the first time we've seen Sam Montembeault this week. But with the two goalies there, it allowed for there was some three-on-three play. There was some four-on-four play. They had so many guys there. And remember, these are not... They're not practices. They're not drills. It's not official training. These are player-initiated get-togethers, workouts, where they get on ice and show their skills. And they certainly have done that. And we've noticed that Patrick Laine is usually one of the first to arrive and last to leave, whatever that means. But he is committed. To seemingly have a good season, and he's been staying extra time to work out with Ivan Demidov on one-timers and that sort of thing. So as players continue to arrive, those sessions will continue to ramp up.
Interesting addition to the hockey ops side of things. As we've said in the past, unsure as to why, but the Canadians seem to be one of... The NHL's organization, most of the time, if there are staff changes made, particularly in hockey operations, you get an announcement from an NHL team about it on social media and usually a little press release or whatever, just saying, hey, we've made some changes in the hockey ops department. The Habs don't tend to do that for anything other than you know, kind of the big three coaches, head coach, assistant coach, goaltending coach, that type of thing. Or anyone on the executive management side of things. But Rick always keeps a keen eye week to week on the Canadiens hockey ops website page. And he always manages to notice when there's a fresh face that hasn't been there before and there's a new one there this week.
There sure is. His name, which you may or may not know, is Enrique Corneau. He was formerly the video coach with Chicoutimi of the QMJHL, has been for the last couple of years. And now his picture is listed and the title is assistant video coach. Daniel Harvey is the Canadiens video coach, and he has been since 2022. But they've now added an assistant video coach. His name is Enrique Corneau. So welcome to the Montreal Canadiens. Interesting that this was posted on X by an account called Pro Video Coaches, Pro Hockey Video Coaches. And it says, now that the information is posted on the team's website, congratulations to Enrique on his move up from Chicoutimi. So apparently this was probably not very well kept secret in that community of video coaches. But now that it was made official, sort of, by the Canadians, everybody is congratulating their new assistant video coach.
Wonderful. Team Finland at the Olympics. They had their orientation camp, 50 players invited, and one of them is a familiar name to Canadians fans who pay attention and watch out for prospects for the Habs.
So could Oliver Kapanen be appearing for Team Finland at the Olympics? Now, this is just an orientation camp, much like we talked about last week. Team Canada, Hockey Canada has set up an orientation camp in Calgary for the end of August. Well, the Finnish team has already had theirs. They invited 50 people. One of them, Oliver Kapanen. There was photos on their Instagram. Photos of Kapanen with Jesperi Kotkaniemi, with the aforementioned Joel Armia. So under consideration is Kapanen for the Finnish Olympic team. And congratulations to him. And does that mean anything about what kind of season he's going to have and where he's going to play?
Mm. Good for him. It'd be a pretty exceptional thing if he were able to play for Finland at the Olympics. Going right along with that, Hockey Canada has announced their orientation camp, but that's not happening until for another couple of weeks, correct?
That's right. And we talked about that last week. There's no real news there. We had talked about the players who were invited to that camp. Sam Montembeau, for Team Canada, as well as Nick Suzuki and Noah Dobson. They're all going to be in Calgary from August 26th to 28th for that orientation camp. None of that's new. What's new is that Steve Simmons from the Toronto Sun, he puts out a regular column, and then, as many sports journalists do, puts an odds and ends kind of set of notes at the end. And we talked about it last week about, wasn't it strange that Hockey Canada invited only three goaltenders to their orientation camp? They could have invited many more. And that they were the same three goaltenders from the Four Nations team to this summer orientation session. Steve explains it, saying that General Manager Doug Armstrong and his staff looked at Logan Thompson, Stuart Skinner, Darcy Kemper, Mackenzie Blackwood, and considered them very similar to the goaltenders that they named. Those goaltenders, Sam Montembeau, Binnington, and Aiden Hill. Now, that's not to say that these are the goaltenders who are going to the Olympics. There'll be an evaluation based on that group of seven goaltenders and how they play during the season. Steve says Binnington's in, and why wouldn't he be the way he played at Four Nations? And they rode him all the way. So he said, my understanding is Jordan Binnington is a sure thing for the Olympic team. And after that, two of, and he lists the six goaltenders, Hill, Montembeau, Thompson, Skinner, Blackwood, and Kemper will be
competing for
that spot going to Milan. Then he makes this comment, and this is when social media went a bit nuts. And this is what he says, and I'll read it as a quote. Quote, Montembeau is French-Canadian, which helps his chances of being the third goalie, end quote. It's not opinion. It's not, I guess it's a little bit of opinion, but it's just kind of reality. It's fact. And you know, it was John Shannon who said the same thing when Montembeau was picked as the third goalie, and was the only French Canadian on the Four Nations team. Hockey Canada is going to want that representation. So I don't think Steve Simmons necessarily was saying, and I'm not a fan of Steve Simmons. I don't read his column. I'm not here to defend him, but to maybe defend something very simple that he said. Lots of folks got very upset about this. Jimmy Murphy, who I consider Jimmy Murphy a Boston reporter, but anyway, he's trying to get in with the Canadian side, and he was, that's so disrespectful to Montembeau. I don't think that's what was being said here. It was all about just recognizing the fact that add a little check mark to Montembeau's name, doesn't disrespect him, doesn't say anything about him being better or worse than anybody else is just, I think it got blown way out of proportion.
I think so too. And as you said, John, as you reminded everyone, John Shannon said something similar when Montembeau was that third goaltending selection for Four Nations, that there, it may, particularly in that case, because as you say, he was not just the French Canadian goaltender of the three, but for the entire team of Hockey Canada at Four Nations. And yeah, it is something. If Hockey Canada went out with a roster that didn't have a single French Canadian player, then there would be another set of people in a giant uproar about that.
That's just it. Don't say it doesn't matter because
it does.
Leave somebody off and you're going to hear about it.
That's right.
Anyway, this is just faux outrage.
Yeah. We'll see what. And why don't we all just wait until we see what the actual selections are?
And congratulate Suzuki, Dobson, and Montembeau for getting the invitation
to the orientation camp.
And Oliver Kapanen for getting the invitation to Team Finland.
And we'll see who makes it to USA's orientation. And
yeah, that's going to be a whole other controversy.
That'll be a whole other can of worms. All right, let's leave that for now till we get more information. And instead, we'll hop over to the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Every week, we like to kick this segment off with highlighting a Montreal Canadiens prospect in particular. And so this week, we are putting the spotlight on Habs prospect Alexander Zhirovsky. He just was drafted this summer by the Canadiens. He is at KHL training camp already with HC Salavat.
Last year, he played 45 games with Tolpar, the MHL, and I'd say he's likely back there again this season, but he's starting with the KHL training camp. We'll remind you that he was drafted in the second round. The Canadiens very high on him and said they may have taken him with one of their two first round picks if they hadn't been traded away. They moved up to the 34th position early in the second round to grab him, and someone they highly coveted. So starting off with the KHL training camp. KHL training camp's underway already, and we'll see where he spends most of his time this season.
That's right. For the World Juniors, if you thought that pickings were a little slim at last year's World Junior Tournament in terms of Habs prospects, there was only one. This year is going to make it has the potential to really make up for it because it's quite possible that there could be a pretty decent-sized contingent of Canadians' prospects representing their respective countries at this year's World Junior Championship.
So some of those we talked about last week when there's the World Junior Summer Showcase with the four teams there. Michael Hage, he had a goal in each game. Atos Koivu was the MVP of the tournament unofficial MVP of the tournament, six goals for Finland. LJ Mooney, I think, turned heads for and has a very good chance of being on the USA team. That one player last year was Rasmus Bergqvist, who represented Sweden last year. So three are kind of, I would say, pretty close to being a lock. The other player who participated in the World Junior Summer Showcase was Owen Protz, and he was very happy to be there. Maybe not a lock for Canada. Maybe will be brought there as kind of a specialty player, as a shutdown defenseman, as a guy who is going to add a physical element to your team. Or maybe he's there because there's another player who, gets injured during the first part of the season. So Owen Protz also under consideration. But I think you can book it that Hage, Koivu, and Mooney will be there. A couple other players that weren't at the World Junior Summer Showcase, and I'll let you take those guys.
That would be Carlos Handel, another 2025 draft pick for the Montreal Canadiens. Could be representing Team Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, for Team Latvia, the goaltender Mikus Vatsvenaks obviously would be a prime selection for the Latvian team as well.
Mm-hmm.
So could be some or all of Michael Hage, Atos Koivu, LJ Mooney, Carlos Handel, Mikus Vatsvenaks, and maybe even Owen Prots. That would be a loaded Habs prospect pool for the World Juniors this year, which would be pretty exciting to watch. Speaking of Michael Hage, his younger brother, Alexander, was part of a trade this week. He was traded. This is an OHL trade. He was traded from the Peterborough Petes to the Niagara Ice Dogs and later signed his OHL scholarship agreement with Niagara.
Yeah, Alex is a 17-year-old younger brother of Michael, right shot center, listed presently at 5'8", 163. You know, Michael's put on a lot on his frame. Alex tallied 11 points in 37 games in the USHL with the Chicago Steel last year. So he'll play with the Niagara Ice Dogs for this upcoming season in the OHL. He's got a commitment to Michigan in the NCAA for the following season, the 2026-27 season, and not drafted yet. And there was a real nice picture of Michael Hage with his younger brother and their mom. We know their special family situation, and it was nice seeing him. That is Alex signing his OHL agreement.
Congratulations. Believe it or not, we are in tournament season already. Prospect summer tournament season. The Hlinka-Gretzky Cup kicks off in Czechia and Slovakia on Monday. Tournament runs from August 11th to 16th. Eight teams are there. And boy, that means scouting. I hope all of the scouts had a good summer because summertime is over.
Yeah, it's Hlinka-Gretzky is the start of the scouting cycle, and so all NHL teams will have representation there, including the Montreal Canadiens.
Absolutely. So we'll see how that tournament goes this year. Just taking a dip into some NHL league-wide news as we move away from Habs prospects. First up, we have a. We always like when certain reporters and journalists and analysts put out different kinds of rankings throughout the summer, throughout the season, and take a look at how those kinds of minds are analyzing and ranking the Canadiens for various things. This time it is the contract efficiency ranking for 2025 by Dom Lachishin. This is something he does every year, correct?
It is. He says he takes a week and devotes it completely to preparing these contract efficiency rankings. Who's got the best contracts? Who has the word? Who's worth it? Who's delivering what they're being paid? Essentially, is his goal. In doing this exercise, and so he figures out the player's market value, looks at the remainder of the contract and compares it to what you know their production and so on. So it's very subjective, there's always some controversy about this for the Canadiens. They're middle of the pack. They were middle of the pack last year. They're middle of the pack this year. There's not much change. Last year, 16th overall. This year, 14th, and they get a overall for their the money they spend. He's given them a team ranking of B. Who are the best value contracts of the skaters? Well, that would be, in his opinion, Suzuki, Slavkovsky, Caulfield, and Dobson. The worst contracts In his estimation, of the skaters are Patrick Laine, Brendan Gallagher, and Josh Anderson. In his little write-up, he says that the Canadians are just one of two teams, Los Angeles being the other, that have three A-grade contracts and three D-grade contracts. So, and some of that is working through, during the rebuild with Kent Hughes. They acknowledge that none of the contracts, that he considers bad were signed, by Kent Hughes. Now, you know, that's fudging things a little bit because they, while Patrick Laine wasn't signed to his, $8.7 million contract, the Canadians went out and got him and added him. They knew what they were doing there. So, but technically none of those bad contracts were signed. Laine, Gallagher, Anderson. So they term that the Canadians are just working through getting those contracts off the books and should, move into the top 10, soon. Other contract notes, they note that, for the entry level contracts, those are the ones where you can get really good value. Demidov, Bolduc, and Lane Hutson. Also interesting, Canadians don't have any dead money, in their cap. All the retained salary slots are available, that can be used, to help facilitate trades during the year.
Mm.
So some good work there. Middle of the pack doesn't sound that great, but it's all moving in the right direction.
Well, that's a positive. Switching from the Athletic over to Daily Faceoff, there was a piece that came out this week projecting the league's top 30 players when we get to the year 2030. Who are going to be the top 30 players in the NHL in 5 years?
So this is pretty ambitious. A fun exercise. It's tough enough to rank the top 30 players in the league currently
this year.
but projecting out, and you know, trying to figure out how players are to decline as they age, how players are going to advance as they move from the start of their career, it's fascinating. It's done by the folks at Adjusted Hockey, and an article contributed to the Daily Faceoff. So the interesting part, if you look at the top 30 players, you have Connor Bedard as number one, Cale Makar number two, Macklin Celebrini number three, Quinn Hughes and Jack Hughes make up the fourth and fifth. Then it's Connor.
And that's Connor McDavid is number one, not Connor Bedard.
What did I say?
You said Connor Bedard.
Connor McDavid first, yes. Connor Bedard sixth.
There
my
you go.
Apologies.
That's all right.
Of note, Gavin McKenna is in at the number nine slot. Jake Ottinger is the top goaltender, according to the folks. I'm looking at the logos and I see a couple of Ottawa Senators logos. Mm-hmm. I see four Minnesota Wild logos in mm-hmm. the top 30. I see four Dallas Stars logos. Mm-hmm. I don't see any Montreal.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, there's the Leafs in here. Yeah. Well, Austin
one.
Matthews.
Yeah.
I don't see any Montreal Canadiens logos.
Uh-uh.
So now don't centrate this way. but there are no Montreal Canadiens. This projected list for 2030, the top 30 players, they don't expect that any Montreal Canadiens, not Demidov, not Hutson, not Fowler, none of them are going to be in the top 30. Lane Hutson may be the, you know, you may say, wait a minute, Hutson has to be in here. He has chosen 10 defensemen. They are in declining order. Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, Jake Sanderson, Rasmus Dahlin, Luke Hughes, Thomas Harley, Miro Heiskanen, Moritz Seider, Zev Bouyam, and Owen Power. No, Lane Hutson. I will say that they've given Nick Suzuki and Ivan Demidov honorable mentions, but can't squeeze him into the top 30. So again, yeah, there's some odd stuff that comes out in the summer. This didn't come from us.
Nope.
Take it up with the folks at Daily Faceoff.
That's right.
If you wish.
Just to wrap up this segment, we started with a little bit of levity. We're going to end with a little bit of levity as well. In case you missed it this week, the Seattle Kraken made headlines like continent-wide, all over the U.S. and Canada this week. Not for what you might expect. Forward John Hayden, and you know that wonderful mascot of theirs named Bowie. Well, they were up in Alaska doing a video shoot, and you know, they got really up close and personal with the wildlife.
So they knew the spot they were picking, and just downstream of a waterfall, and that's where all these grizzly bears grabbed the. If you've seen, you know, a video of a grizzly bear catching a salmon in their mouth or knocking down with a paw, and that it comes from this national park in Alaska, likely. And so they knew kind of, I guess, what they were getting into.
They had guides with them.
They had guides with them, and they had film crew and all of that. But all of a sudden, this grizzly bear just off the shore is kind of looking at them, stalking them as they're out fishing. And as you say, that's John Hayden, their center, and this scary-looking mascot. And then the grizzly bear comes charging in full gallop through the water. Grizzly bear can move faster than people in hip waders. And
gigantic stuffed creatures in hip waders.
in mascot gear. It was touch and go for a bit. All turned out fine. And Hayden says, while we were fishing, we had a pretty close call with a couple of bears. I want to blame it on Bowie. They were pretty interested in his whole look. We got out okay, but it was a very close call. Yes, this sea troll called Bowie, the bear wanted
no part of that. Yeah. Sure that Bowie or any mascot looks pretty threatening to a bear out in the wild. Although I did say that if it had been Gritty would have just faced off with him and ridden the grizzly bear off into the sunset.
Now you got everybody going to Grok to get a video.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of Gritty on a grizzly bear.
Glad everything turned out okay. That could have been really, really dicey. And maybe leave the mascot at home when you're in the wilderness. Maybe. I don't know. Or, gee. I don't know how you handle that, but glad everything came out okay. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Coming up next, we are tackling our big topic of the week. We are going to take a look at, now that a better portion of the summer has passed us by, we're going to look at how Montreal's 2025-26 roster is starting to take shape. We'll give you a chance to sound off about it yourself as well. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join our team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. You can find me over on X if you'd like to follow my coverage there. My handle is @FlyersRule. And of course, I'm here in the studio with our
founder and president of Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. You're going to want to follow him on X as well. His handle is at Rocket Sports. That's actually our main account over there on Twitter. But you could also follow this podcast specifically, both on actually on all platforms of X, Facebook, and Instagram. That would be at Habs Connection. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, before summer runs out and we get back into the thick of things with the hockey season, be sure you hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube. Just hit subscribe. You never want to miss an episode. We are here each and every week. And as we kind of teased at the beginning of the program, we're just about a month away from the Canadiens' 49th annual golf tournament at Club de Golf Laval-sur-le-Lac. It's basically the sounding bell for the season to begin, because each at the end of every summer, the players, the coaches, management, alumni all get together raising money for the Canadiens Children's Foundation. It's always a tremendous tournament that they put on, but it is also the unofficial start to training camp because everybody's there, everybody gets together, and training camp typically starts a day or two later. So that's going to happen in just a few weeks. We're not that far away from that. And so as we talked about in the first segment, each week more and more players are starting to show up in Brassard to join the on-ice sessions that are going on there every day. And so what we want to do is just take a look at, okay, you know, about 6 weeks or so ago, Rick put out his early projection of what the Canadiens lineup would look like for this upcoming season. But since then, some things have changed. We've learned some more things, and there's been a lot of messaging, kind of read between the lines messaging that's been put out there. And so we want to kind of take a look at what we've learned over the summer about the Canadiens roster makeup as the offseason winds down, and as things start to really ramp up. So Rick, I guess the best way to do this would be to kind of break this down into three segments. You know, we're going to take a look at the forwards and talk about what's new with the forwards. We'll also do the same, repeat the exercise with defensemen and the goaltenders as well.
Sure. And this, if you want to go back to the episode, it's Canadiens Connection episode 355. It came out on the 5th of July, just as, you know, the trades from the draft, the free agency was settling down. And it was my first look at a possible 2025-26 Canadiens lineup. At the time, I think it was considered a bit offside to others that were out there. Some particular guys like Daily Faceoff are coming around to my type of thinking. And I went through each line and explained the reasoning for it. I'll just touch on, I'm not going to explain the reasoning, but I can touch on each of the lines. What I stressed then, and I'll stress again, is that, and I know with a lot of fans, they think, okay, I'm working from a blank slate here. I can put all my favorites together, and that's not really how it works, because it's not a blank slate. There are things that we already know based on last year, based on what Marty St. Louis likes to do. And I'm not saying this is, I'm predicting, I'm not pretending to know what's in Marty St. Louis' mind. I think based on the rules that Marty has used and practice, this is kind of what I expect. But I wouldn't presume to know how, and we should also say that Marty has changed his mind on things, from the type of hockey they play to opinions on players. So it could change as well. The Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky as the top line, that's kind of a given. And unless there's a big change, we're likely to see that right up top. Kirby Doc, from what we know or what we knew then on July 5th, was going to be given every opportunity to succeed. And Jeff Gorton said as much at the time. We know Kirby has trouble with faceoffs, so that I had placed Alex Newhook next to him to kind of balance off so they could each swap in and out. And what we seem to know is that Ivan Demidov the preference is to have him on the second line. The preference is to keep Patrick Laine away from Kirby Dach. They didn't mesh so well. Leaves Patrick Laine on the third line with Zach Bolduc. I had Oliver Kapanen in there because I think Oliver Kapanen did enough last season, particularly during the playoffs, to show that he's not out of place at the NHL level. And then the seniors line that was formerly had Dvorak at center now would have Jake Evans at center between Anderson and Gallagher. Joe Valeno would slot in where he could, and Sammy Blais would be off to Laval.
Phew.
So that's kind of what it was on July 5th. Now, what's changed? Has anything changed? Do we have any new information?
This week, there is everybody, fans, media, you name it, everyone is all a flutter. Because apparently now, according to reports, according to some media personalities, Kirby Dach has allegedly had a setback in his recovery and might not be ready for the start of the season.
So this comes from Don LaCalise, Max Truman, and basically what the article says is Kirby Dach is still not fully recovered. And what is that based on? Well, it's based on the fact, some pieces of information that would be, kind of strung together in a tenuous kind of way here. Fact that Kirby is spending the summer in Edmonton training, when he was observed on the weight machines, the weights weren't all that, heavy. The fact that when he came in for the wedding, for Nick Suzuki's wedding, he didn't get to the ice. You know, why wasn't he at Oceaga? All those kinds of things, and tenuous at best. Mm-hmm. Is the report? And you know, nothing against Max Truman. He has been occasionally right, occasionally wrong. And he's trying to weave a narrative here through finding a way to spin this, that Kirby, Dach, may not be ready. Tony Marinaro, love him or hate him, Tony Marinaro is going to take this and run with it and amplify it and put his spin on it. In a sensational kind of way, as he always does. And so it got a lot of attention. So much so that the Montreal Canadiens felt they needed to respond. How do we know that the Montreal Canadiens did? Was there a press release? No. Did Chantel come out and say? No. But the Canadiens, when they want to put stuff out and they don't want their name on it, they will contact one of two reporters. And you should know who those people are by now. Do we know what happens? We know it as for a fact. If they want something in French, it goes out to one reporter. If they want something in English, it goes up out to another reporter. This one got to Sportsnet and Ingles because it was about Kirby Dach. It was like we talked about bears, grizzly bears earlier. It was like the hibernation being disturbed, and Engels came out with a tweet that was full of anger and I'm sorry I have to say this, but it must be said kind of thing. Obviously got a message from the Canadians to do just that. And Engels said that his summer training is progressing well, and it's premature to suggest that he won't be ready for the start of camp. And I'm paraphrasing here. He goes on to say it was never guaranteed that Dach would be ready for the start of camp. So now people are in one of two camps, pro Ingles, pro. And if I was to advise you at all, if you're looking for the truth rather than, I want to fight about this, I want to argue about this, I want to point out who's right or who's wrong, there is new information in this. There is a fact that we didn't know before in this. And it's key. The wording is key. The defense is, first of all, it's premature to suggest that he won't be ready for the start of camp. Oh, so there's some question? He may not be ready for camp. And Ingles goes on to say, it was never guaranteed that he'd be ready for the start of camp. Well, that is news. That is news. Because from right back to February when he had the surgery, the expectation was that he'd be ready well before the start of camp. Jeff Gorton said at the start of the summer, he had come to Broussard. They had viewed him. Everybody said he was looking good. They expected him to be at camp, and they expected him to be in better shape than he was last year when he came to camp. So this saying it, and they used the kind of backwards way. Oh, we never guaranteed it. Well, okay, that's kind of a straw man's argument. But if there's any question at all that he's not going to be ready for the start of camp, that is new. Mm-hmm. That is news. And so you should lift your eyebrow, if you want to react about that, and just put it in your back pocket. Kirby Doc may not be ready. That comes from Ingles, and that's fed to Ingles. Of course it is.
We're making an educated, because
of history.
So just
settle down with the arguments. But that's a new piece of information. And when you're putting together your roster projections, that's something we're going to have to consider once training camp begins.
Well, and basically the bottom line here is that, of course, with any injury, the Montreal Canadiens, of course, aren't going to come out and say there is a guarantee 100% that this player will be ready by this specific date. In this case, it's of course, they couldn't say at any point in time. It is a guarantee that Kirby Doc will be ready to start at training camp come September. However, every time Kirby Doc has been brought up since he went for his surgery at the beginning of the calendar year, the Canadians have effectively estimated that they didn't have any seeming concerns that Kirby Doc would not be ready for training camp in September. As you say, right when he had the surgery, and they had the press conference about it then. And then, of course, at the beginning of the summer, when Jeff Gorton made some comments about, Doc practicing, Doc skating, and as you mentioned, specifically having expectations that Doc was going to present a strong presentation at training camp. So, no, nobody ever said, and I guarantee he's going to be there, but it's the inference that has been made over and over and over again throughout 2025, ever since Kirby Doc had this surgery. And so now suddenly for someone to come out and say, well, it was never really guaranteed that he'd be ready for the start of the camp, that's what sends off the big red flashing warning signals of, well, nobody ever said that the Canadians did guarantee it, but the Canadians basically made it at every turn the general assumption and the general inference that there was no reason that Kirby Doc wouldn't be ready for the start of training camp.
Certainly the expectation was there, and the Canadians fueled that expectation.
And so now the question is, were they wrong in their estimation, or has something happened in recent weeks that has made them reevaluate their position on that? And of course, We're not really going to know the answer to that until the golf tournament when Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes get in front of a microphone and face the press for the first time. So Kirby Dach now has a giant question mark over it. And we actually have coming up in the third segment, we have a lot of responses about from some of our listeners and viewers in general before this whole debacle happened this week, just about what Dach's potential could even be this season if he is healthy. So we'll get to some of those. But Dach is definitely going to be kind of one of those moving pieces of the puzzle that everybody's going to be watching.
So the impact that might be that Alex Newhook, that might be that Joe Valeno moves in, that might be that Kapanen or Evans take a more active role. But the Canadians have built in some backups with respect to the center position. Is it ideal? No, but they have options there. Should there be a delay for Kirby Dach?
The other you mentioned that Patrick Laine has been first one to arrive, last one to leave at Broussard. He's obviously putting in some time. He seems to really be taking some initiative of working with Ivan Demidov. But in particular, the first one to arrive, last one to leave. Is Patrick Laine going to be more of a factor than perhaps some are estimating? In the trailer for this is the second year now that the Canadians are doing their behind the scenes documentary on Crave, which comes out on August 21st. And Rick, in the trailer for this second season of their documentary, there is a pretty emphatic quote from Patrick Laine.
Patrick Laine says, quote, "Whoever bets against me is going to lose all their money." End quote. And fans are just jumping on that and saying, "See, LFG, it means that Patrick Laine is going to have an amazing season. He's not just going to be that specialty player who can have an impact to the power play. He's going to be much better 5-on-5, and maybe you'll see him on the second line." With Demidov, we've seen them together practicing the one-timers and so on. I think the only thing I'd caution, and there's two bits to this. The first is, this is a behind-the-scenes documentary of things that were said and done last year. Mm-hmm. This isn't a quote from Patrick Laine.
Now,
this was last year. And if you bet against him, you might have won some money. This is being put in context for this season. And certainly the Canadians are using that way. The Canadians know what they're doing when they put together these trailers. They're using this Patrick Laine quote to fuel the excitement for a better season for Patrick Laine this season. But he made this quote about last year. So take that into account. Mm-hmm. That he made it last year and still struggled 5-on-5, when especially late in the season. So when you're putting your, okay, Patrick Laine has got to be on the second line, maybe not. We'll see.
So, as you say, where on your projection you have Laine on the third line, but the impetus behind that was to keep him and Kirby Dach separated. So now those first two items that we've talked about now really play off against each other too.
Because
what if Dach isn't available at the start of the season, where does that put Patrick Laine in the lineup? If they don't have to worry about not putting him with Kirby Dach. So all sorts of things at play.
And the assumption about Ivan Demidov was that he's going to be on the second line, probably the first wave of the power play. I'd say he has to be on the first wave of the power play. One of the things that I've seen a little bit of discussion about is Juraj Slafkovský. And again, Juraj Slafkovský is training in Slovakia. You know, is saying all the right things and the player that he wants to be. And if he can be that player that he has in his mind, he'll be unstoppable and all those kinds of things. Juraj Slafkovský has had kind of a get out of jail free card for his start to the NHL season, and I say that being that he meshes well and he brings an element to that first line with Suzuki and Caulfield that's really needed, and when he is on his game, it's that top line meshes well. But we know that he can also disappear for five or six games. And in the past, particularly last year, not really anything that Marty St. Louis could do about that because he didn't have anybody to slot in there. Alex Newhook was tried with Suzuki and Caulfield. Josh Anderson was tried. None of that worked. So it was Juraj Slafkovský by default, whether he's playing well or he's not playing well. What happens now if you have an Aiden Demidov? And I'm not saying he's going to be there to start on the top line to start the season. I don't think Marty St. Louis would do that. But if Ivan Demidov is making the adjustment to the NHL well, performing well and performing consistently, and you have Slafkovský just forget, you know, what he brings to the line for a stretch of games. Will Demidov then be able to step in? And if he does, is that going to light a fire under Slafkovský? The fact that for the first time, Slafkovský has a bit of pressure on him, pressure on that position that he loves and covets, is that going to make him play better? I think that's going to be something to watch this season.
Definitely. All right, so that covers what's new with the forwards. Let's shift now to the blue liners, to the defensemen. And just to remind folks of how you had back on July 5th projected the back end to be, you have Caden Gooley and Noah Dobson on the first pairing, Lane Hutson and Jaden Struble on the second pairing, Mike Matheson and Alex Carrier on the third pairing, with Arber Jacki as the seventh defenseman and David Reinbacher playing in Laval.
Right. And I know that some folks have put Hutson and Dobson together. Hutson and Dobson, when the Canadians are trying to generate offense at the end of the game, they'll be out there together. But Dobson needs a physical defenseman. That's Caden Gooley. It's not Mike Matheson. It's not Lane Hutson. And this is with the assumption that for the most part, folks are on their natural side. So Caden Gooley and Dobson, you have Hutson and Struble. Struble does have, we'd like him to be more physical, but does have a physical element to his game. And then Matheson and Carrier on the third pairing. And that was prior to Jaden Struble signing his contract, since he signed a two-year one-way contract. And the interesting thing is that seven of these defensemen have one-way contracts. I had Reinbacher going to Laval because, remember, at the end of the season, Reinbacher said his knee problems were 95% fixed, and that over the summer they would be sort of on his mind, and it was a bit of a wishy-washy answer at the end of the Rocket season. Mm-hmm. But since then, things have changed, and there have been multiple reports out that David Reinbacher's knee problems are behind him. They're a thing of the past. Why are those reports coming out? We don't know, but it sounds like they're being fed, and the reports point to video from a skills coach that Ryan Backer is working with. His name is Kevin Parada. And now these are just drills. There's not really any, there's simulated board battles and that sort of thing. But for the most part, they're just drills. But he's showing no ill effects of his, and he's training in Zurich this summer, showing no restrictions at all in his movement. He's looking very good and very fluid. And when these reports come out, there's the reminder that the Canadians only have two right shot defensemen in that lineup, and so David Reinbacher could be a solution here. I have to think that why are these coming out? Well, the Canadians again, they like to leverage the media, they like to feed things, and they like to answer questions before they come up. And if your question is, why did you trade a fan favorite? Who would be a fan favorite? Well, Arbor Jack, I would be a fan favorite. Mike Matheson would be a fan favorite. Well, there's the answer. The answer is already delivered before the question is asked, because David Reinbacher is, his knee problems are behind him, and the Canadians need another right shot defenseman in the lineup. Am I saying a trade's going to happen? I'm not. But the Canadians sometimes prepare the ground if they're working on things. And it may not happen until the trade deadline. It may happen in one of Ken Hughes's famous August trades. We don't know. But there seems to be some movement here. So much so that I'm going to put a slash beside Jaden Struble's name, beside Lane Hutson, and say Jaden Struble slash David Reinbacher. And of course, all of these decisions, they're only penciled in the offseason. You have to see how the players perform in training camp.
And I'll take that one step further and just with a different perspective too of it's fine to have some optimism about David Reinbacher's injury status, and if it seems by analyzing video of him doing summer training and drills and so forth that it seems that he is healthy again and that his quote unquote knee problems are behind him, but let's remember he missed a very large chunk of time this past season. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time that he has missed a large chunk of time due to this knee injury. This is not the first time that the knee has been injured. And so I think it's, to borrow a phrase, it's premature to suggest that David Reinbacher's knee problems are behind him. I certainly hope they are, and I certainly hope he's able to stay healthy, and I certainly hope that the reports are accurate, that he looks strong in his skating, in his cuts, in his board battles, you know, whatever it is. But to say that his knee problems are behind him could be a little premature, and we have to wait to see how training camp goes and how preseason goes and the first month or so of the season before we can confidently say that he's yes, absolutely 100% healthy again.
And the Canadians don't like to skip steps. So let me just add one more piece of information in here. I know David Reinbacher's name's been around for a long time, and that gets fans to think he has a bunch more experience than he does. To piggyback on your point, David Reinbacher has played 21 regular season games in the American Hockey League.
That's it.
That's not a lot.
That's over the course of two seasons?
Almost three. So it wouldn't hurt him to, if necessary, to spend some extra time. And that's why I thought that initially he would go to Laval. But I think that's an open question right now where he starts the upcoming season.
And depends on what Kent Hughes has cooking.
Right.
Okay, so finally, let's get to the crease. You have Sam Montembeault. This was back in July. You had Sam Montembeault as the starter with Jakub Dobish as his backup, leaving Kaapo Kähkönen as the other half of the tandem with Jacob Fowler in Laval. So what is new with the goaltending?
Well, on July 5th, I was one of the few that had Dobish penned in as the backup to Montembeau. Many had Kakanen and said, why would you go out and get a veteran if you weren't going to have him as the backup in the NHL? I just thought that Dobish had earned the spot. He had a sensational season last year. So what has changed since July 5th? I'm thinking that more are coming around to my way of thinking and that of course, there's going to be a battle in training camp, but it's going to be Jakub Dobish's spot, that is the backup, to lose. Why do we, and what's new? Well, we have Jeff Gorton. He commented since July 5th on Dobish, said that he was very complimentary about his successful season and successful transition, and they were impressed after putting him in a difficult spot, and even went on to say that the Canadians wouldn't have made the playoffs without Dobish's wins. There's also noise out of the organization that they don't want Sam Montembeau playing 60 games this upcoming season, and so that they're going to need somebody to split the workload a little bit more favorably. And we know that Kakanen hasn't played a lot in the NHL in a while. Then there was the comments from Eric Raymond. He is the Canadians goaltending coach, and these comments kind of went unnoticed. It was at the Dominic Ducharme Golf Classic, his tournament, several weeks ago, and interesting, the quote from him there is, it's important to have five good goaltenders in the organization. You never know what's going to happen. The seasons are long and difficult. And that's what his explanation, I think he was saying, don't read too much into Kakanen, the acquisition. It's a good acquisition. It's good to get a veteran in, but you never know what's going to happen. And you need, your organization needs five good goaltenders to face a difficult season. But he went on to say, having a veteran of Kakanen's quality, the inference being in Laval, is excellent for the organization. And he said that he's a competitor. He's going to arrive. He's going to compete for that backup spot. But at the same time, he knows what to expect. He knows that he could end up in Laval. He's betting on himself, and that all things being equal, Dobish really has a head start about that position. Eric Raymond went on to talk about Dobish, talked about how impressed they were of how he handled the pressure, getting tossed in when he wasn't expected into the playoffs, that he really handled it well. The fact that he's improved as a goaltender over the last year, his work ethic has improved a lot, and so they think highly of him. And I think all of the comments coming out this summer have really solidified the fact that it's Jakub Dobish's, the backup spot is his to lose at camp.
And here's another part of that to take into consideration. The Canadians have said time and again that their focus is on development. If you were to put Kaapo Kakkonen as Sam Montembeau's backup in the NHL, that would mean you had a Dobish-Fowler tandem in the AHL.
And I don't want that.
That would not benefit the development of either one of those goaltenders. Dobish has the experience. He has shown he can dominate in the AHL, and he now has a bit of NHL experience, where some things he needs to work on have been discovered, but also areas and situations where he really excels have been presented as well. So to further his development, Dobish is better served as being an NHL backup. For Fowler, He is just getting his feet wet. Remember, he's just basically, you know, played in the playoffs for Laval. He needs now a season of being the guy between the pipes. He needs to get the majority of the starts. He needs to be the starter in Laval with Kakinen, a veteran who has experience and probably a little more calmness in the crease in really tough situations if Fowler gets in some trouble, to kind of balance that out and help him with his development in Laval. So that's, for me, that's the other reason I see. Not only does Dobesh deserve that backup position, but if they really truly are looking out for the development of their goaltenders, that would be the smartest approach for them to take in terms of assigning goaltenders to which team.
Yeah, if you use the 1/3, 2/3 split with respect to your starter and your backup, I think a 2/3 for 2/3 of the games, 2/3 of the starts for Montembeault would help him. 1/3 of the starts for Jakub Dobesh would help his development. 2/3 of the starts in Laval for Jacob Fowler would help his development. And then 1/3 to a veteran like Kakinen. I think that's all around. That's excellent. Mm-hmm. With that interview, Eric Raymond also talked about Jakub Dobesh, and his quote there kind of speaks to what you were just talking about. He said about Fowler, he's an excellent goalkeeper, calm and in control. There's not much that bothers that guy.
No, it does. It's never seemed like Jake Fowler was a guy that gets bothered by too much. All right. So, you know, this is kind of an ever evolving thing over the offseason. While there are no real announcements, when there's not trades being made or free agent signings, you have to start to just kind of read between the line and try to pick up on the subtle hints that are out there, whether it's from the media, whether it's from journalists, whether it's from the organization themselves in not so official ways, you know, not necessarily a press release, but what do their coaches or their management types say when they're out and about? And then you kind of just take all of those little clues that get dropped and you try to piece them together into something that makes sense. We'll have all the answers sooner rather than later because, you know, training camp is just a handful of weeks away. But it is starting to get a little more clear in some areas. Actually, some areas it's now made more questions than has provided answers with some of these things. But we basically turn the microphone over to you now. We have our Canadians Connection question of the week related to this topic. And so what we want to know is, who is, in your opinion, the key roster player for the Canadians to have a successful season this year? In the 2025-26 season, who is the key player on the Canadiens roster in order for the team to have a successful season? And I mean, Rick, that could be any number of guys that people could be picking here.
Yeah, the season will pivot on what? On who having a good season. Use the word bellwether. If Nick Suzuki has a good season, is it automatically mean that the Canadians will have a good season? Is their season dependent on Kirby Dach being successful? Is it dependent on Ivan Demidov having a successful transition? Is it Yuri Slavkovsky being more consistent, or Patrick Laine? Who, in your opinion, if you just pick one player, who's the key? Who's the key to the Canadians having a successful season when all is said and done?
Send us your answers on the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET, or drop your answer in our comment section on the YouTube video, or even just send us a message over at X, Facebook, or Instagram at Habs Connection. We are going to pick our best responses and read them next week right here on the show, which is exactly what we're going to do after we take our last break for today and come back in segment three. We have a boatload of responses coming from all sorts of different places for us to tell you about coming up on segment three here on the Canadians Connection podcast. So you don't want to miss it. There are some really interesting perspectives and some pretty fascinating opinions this past week that you're probably going to want to react to a little bit. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. Drop us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity. And welcome back to episode 360 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, just take a moment to tap that subscribe button. Be sure you are also subscribed on our YouTube channel. You can find that at insidethecanadians.com. While you're at it, whether on your podcast player or on YouTube, if you could just take a moment and just tap the like button, if there is one there for you on your particular platform, but also more importantly, the share button. It takes just a second for you to share the episode over to your favorite social media channels. And it just helps us to spread the word about the show to an even bigger community of Habs fans. And well, the more the merrier, as they say. And we would greatly appreciate it. Also, be sure that you're checking in over at hockeyhotstove.com regularly for our written content. Hockey Hot Stove, brand new league-wide coverage of every team in the league and then some, that has just premiered this summer, and we are very proud to be the representatives covering the Montreal Canadiens for hockeyhotstove.com, as well as be sure you're jumping in on the forums tab over there as well. There is the Montreal Canadiens forum within the Hockey Hot Stove forums. In general, the Montreal Canadiens forum is one of the most popular and most highest, you know, interacted forum on the site. I mean, there's Hockey Hot Stove is only a few months old, and there's already thousands of entries and posts on the Canadiens forum. So you do not want to miss jumping in on those conversations, and it's a lot of fun. You can interact with other Habs fans. And in fact, in just a few minutes, we're going to have some of your responses that you left on the forum this week as well. Don't forget this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Who is the key roster player to the Montreal Canadiens having a successful season in 2025-26? Send us a text, leave a comment on YouTube, drop the comment on the Hockey Hot Stove forum if you'd like. Any number of ways for you to get in touch with us to send in your responses so that we can choose the best ones and read them next week. This week, it is your responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, which is actually a two-parter. You could choose one or both questions last week. We asked before, and then actually what I'm going to do here is before we get to what last week's question was, I just want to take a second for us to, since we were just talking about the Hockey Hot Stove forum, instead of the question of the week, we posed to the forum this past week one of the questions that we basically talked about on the show in recent weeks, which was, and it's very relevant now to the conversation we've just had today. And this was obviously before this news about Kirby Dach came out, but the question had been posed to our Canadians forum members. What do you think Kirby Dach's potential could be this season, realistically? And boy, that conversation took off like wildfire, and lots of different responses. And so we just pulled out a few of the more interesting ones. It's not that if we don't read yours, it's not because yours wasn't interesting. It's just there were a lot of them. So we had to pick out some of the best ones. And we'll read some of those for you, particularly since it does relate to what we talked about with Kirby Dach today.
So again, if you'd like to participate in the forum, go to hockeyhotstove.com, click on forums, and then scroll down and click the Montreal Canadiens forum. So Rick, I'll let you start with the first response about Kirby Doc and his potential on the forum.
This comes from Pat 1993. Pat says, I think most agree that this is a do or die season for Doc, so he absolutely has to stay healthy if he wants to put his career back on the right track. There's lots of pressure on him, but at the same time, expectations are at such a low point that he could very well become a pleasant surprise on the roster.
Mm, very interesting. At MASH also chimed in there and said, for me, if he plays 75 or more games and is in the 25 goals, 25 assists, or 50-point range, that will be a success. He says the biggest thing for Doc is going to be how he gels with Laine, which is something we talked about that in the second segment. He's not worried about Demidov. He says, but if Laine and Doc don't work well together, that's going to force major changes to all the lines. Well, except for that top line. So he thinks the Habs are going to give him a shot at the second line center for about a month, but keep him on a pretty short leash. So very interesting comment there from at MASH.
Mr. Chicken says, I think they should put Doc on the wing on the bottom six, just like they did with Josh Anderson. Newhook starts on the second line as a center. At least that guy can skate. Demidov can create players by himself. He does not need his center to do the part. Well, I think he does in the NHL. So that would yield a fourth line, according to the Chicken, of Doc with Owen Beck as the center, Patrick Laine on the right side.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting take. And we had a message from at Tom6076 who says, I'm not sure where Doc will fit in this coming season due to his medical issues. Oh, a little foreshadowing there. He's essentially missed most of two seasons, has had major surgery on the same knee twice in that time. Is it reasonable for him to perform as he did during that short time before the first knee injury? He was awesome then. Can he perform at that level now after the operations? I feel he's going to need some time to get back to where he was. And the interesting thing here is that Tom actually references that correlation, that parallel that we had talked about a couple of weeks on the show about how Caulfield essentially needed a full kind of season to get back to his game after his shoulder surgery. And Tom is saying here that he thinks Doc's going to need that kind of time as well, but that he might not have that kind of time available with the Canadians' patience. So some really great responses over there on the Hockey Hot Stove forum. Please, we invite you to go over there, jump in the conversations. Some really great people over there, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. So now focusing on the actual Canadians Connection question of the week last year, which was the two-parter. One of the questions was, of all the Canadians prospects who have not yet played a single NHL game, who of those do you think is untouchable? And secondly, if you could take one Habs prospect, fast forward their development magically, and slot them right into the NHL this season, who would that be? And we had some, for both of those questions, we had some really interesting answers. we had an answer come in on the Rocket Sports text line this week, Rick.
This one comes on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853 Rocket from Chris C. in Albany, New York. He said you can't have the same person as an answer to both. That is untouchable or the one that you want to fast forward into the lineup. So he's picked two different people. The accelerated development prospect, according to Chris, is Michael Hage as a second C. He plays a position of need that remains in flux. This would also allow Kirby Doc to slide onto a top six wing role, which is the position where he found his best success. The untouchable, the no-trade prospect, according to Chris, is Jacob Fowler. While it's true the Habs didn't have a substantive team success with Carey Price, Price was arguably the best player in the world in 2014 and 15. So his answer two separate answers there, Jacob Fowler and Michael Hage.
Okay. Also, over on YouTube, we had some great replies over there. We picked a couple of our favorites. First, at Bushido Dog says, Owen Protz reminds me of Ben Sherratt. Similar size and playing style. Protz was a bit more offensively productive at the same age in the OHL. Sherratt was just more physical. So that's an interesting comparison.
And Protz is plenty physical.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Also, at Center Heist 7948 says, I don't know that I consider Demidov a prospect. Well, he definitely is. Because he's, you know, he hasn't played a season in the NHL yet, so he's still on the prospect radar. But he says he's the guy this year coming in who is untouchable. He to me is pretty much like Lane Hutson, a regular but untouchable. As far as who is ready after that, I believe most likely Kapanen, but I wouldn't get shocked with a dark horse pulling it off. I think Hage, Koivu, Mooney are ones to watch, but a couple of seasons away. Hage, however, I think will be ahead a bit. He's a future second-line center we need. But of the players of in Laval, I don't think any of those players are untouchable. A few of the larger talented players may be keepers. I do think Mooney may be the only exception of the small players. But I think we'll be unloading a lot of smaller players such as Sean Farrell, who we don't have room for. Atos Koivu may be a pleasant surprise in the future. The future is bright. His eyes are on Thorpe, but I don't expect it to be this season, but next season. And I think he finishes by saying a lot of the larger players, I think, will start really pushing the following season. Hage is looking like the untouchable of the future when he arrives in two seasons. Amy and Rocket. Rocket Stevens is sticking.
Yep.
You are awesome. Thanks so much. You are awesome as well for always contributing great comments. This was just a selection of all of the wonderful feedback we had from our listeners this week. You are all feeling very chatty in this off season, and I can understand why. We're all hungry for hockey to get started, and we've got lots to say about it. So
lots on X this week too.
We didn't even have a chance. There was so many responses. We didn't even have a chance to kind of.
There's a ton on about the untouchable and
yeah, there was a lot of Hage, a lot of Fowler. I will say that there was one person on X who replied and said that his untouchable was Zhirovsky, brand new prospect Zhirovsky, who we talked about this week. Lots of really great comments. Be sure you send in your responses to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And you can bet that we will be back once again next Saturday, August 16th, for another great episode of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @RocketSports.